Brian Had a Dream. 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
Welcome once again to the quest for 10,000. Our audio journey as we go along with Brian as he tries to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40.
Do or do not, there is no try.
That's right. And in this episode, we talk about May the 4th be with you, the 40th anniversary of Star Wars. And so Brian's going to give his thoughts on what that means in his mind's eye. And then we'll also segue into a movie that probably owes a good bit of its existence to Star Wars, Guardians of the Galaxy, that also opens up the same week that we are recording and sharing this with you, our listeners. So thank you so much for joining us, for downloading this episode, and we ask that you share it with a friend. Join us in the conversation on Twitter at 10K, T-E-N-K, or on Brian's blog, 10K, T-E-N-K, movies. .com. Before we move into our topic, as well as our top five side characters in the Star Wars universe, Brian, tell us where you are on the quest.
Okay, 7,880.
And what is the last movie that you watched?
The very last movie that I watched earlier today was a bona fide film from 2001, back in the heyday of a couple people's career, early for a couple people, probably the heyday for Jason Biggs. It was Saving Silverman.
You just now saw that movie?
Had not seen it.
You must not watch Comedy Central that much.
Well, you know, part of the reason I watched it was because I'm going through and I'm trying to, like, as I work my way through the years, trying to, that's the most recent year that I had not yet seen 100 movies released in that year. So now I have seen 100 movies released in 2001, and that was the 100th, was Saving Silverman.
Now, Jack Black's in that movie.
Jack Black, right? Steve Zahn.
Steve Zahn.
Jason Biggs, Neil Diamond.
Well, there you go.
And
if you watch Comedy Central about once a month, you might be able to catch
it. Yeah, I know it's on. It's on there quite a bit. But, I watched it and went through it. Like,
what do you think is its most unappealing quality?
Well, there's a couple parts to it that that 16 years later, humor has changed to the point that it doesn't quite land. Like, there's a couple of jokes that are a little homophobic and a little transgender phobic or transphobic that just don't quite kind of cringe now, where I'm sure in a one, like there's a part where Jack Black's talking about hermaphrodites, which is a little like, I don't know about that, you know. So, and the fact that his character, who was homosexual, just needed to be, it was just a little weird,
I don't really think it landed back then either.
It landed better then than it does now.
Maybe. That's debatable.
But I want to briefly mention a pair of other movies that I watched on Netflix, and they're available now, and I suggest people go see them. I think you've seen one of them, but that's a combo, and I'd pair them together. One of them is Southside With You, which is about the first date of Barack and Michelle Obama. And the other one is Barry, which is about Barack's early – it's set about 10 years earlier, maybe not quite 10, but a little bit earlier. Barack, as he's just going to Columbia and arriving there for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's just – I'm a real sucker for movies that humanize recent historical figures. It's fascinating to me to kind of – now I know that they – you know, you go into the movie, you either want to tear the person down or you want to build them up. So you frame it in a way to where you either make them this bigger, larger-than-life hero or you – what. So I get that it may not be historically accurate, but the ideas of it just are compelling to me.
I've seen Barry. And
Barry was great.
Really blown away by the performances and a lot of the subtlety in it. Of those performances, and I felt like it was sort of, in a way, real kind of neutral in its tone in terms of how to think of this.
Well, I thought it made Barack,
who grew up to be president.
It made Barack a much more, in some ways, to me, more compelling character, and his personal narrative, which I don't remember hearing a great deal of I mean, I heard some, but it's like his struggles with his identity were sort of downplayed during the. Of course, maybe it's because he had already in his own mind settled his, you know, these issues by the time he's running for president. But those issues didn't really become a part of the narrative of the campaign. Whereas in this movie, they were front and center of like he doesn't know, he's like a man with no country in a way. Like, where do I belong? And it was just fascinating. And then, you know, and of course, you can't watch it without filtering it through the idea of he's going to be president. He's going to be president. He's going to be, yeah. You know, so it's sort of, it's just so good. So good.
So fascinating story about Barry in particular, about a man really struggling with who he is because he hasn't really known his father. What a marvelous segue that is into our big topic for today. The basic premise and plot of episodes 4 through 6 of Star Wars. This episode is dropping on May 3rd. May 4th, May the 4th be with you, as we said at the top of the episode, is a huge day in Star Wars fandom. I love Star Wars. I would not, especially with something appearing on the internet, ever claim to be a Star Wars expert or to know everything there is about Star Wars. But I thought it would be interesting to talk about, since we're so close, not only to Star Wars, but also the release of Guardians of the Galaxy, which bears some marks of Star Wars, to at least talk about May the 4th, talk about the 40th anniversary of the Star Wars mythos franchise emerging. Brian, what to you just kind of stands out, I guess, thinking about Star Wars at 40?
Well, I think, you know, it's pretty, it took a while for other people to catch up, but I think you can say that science fiction and film before Star Wars and science fiction and film after Star Wars are two different things. It's like Star Wars changed the dynamic of what, now in so many ways, I'm going to go, you know, this may be offensive to some people, but if you watch Star Wars cold without the knowledge of what's the movie itself, the original Star Wars, it's a little hokey. It's not the best movie. It's a little awkward and stilted in places. Mm-hmm. The movies have come so far in 40 years that it's comparing it. Of course, it's unfair to compare it, but it's hard to imagine that it was really that enthralling, you know, as it was, because it had, you know, there were people lining up to see it on its third, fourth weekend, which is hard to do. But, you know, because even when I try to show, when I watched it first to Owen, we started with Star Wars, and Star Wars is not, it's just not as enthralling to children who've grown up seeing, you know, everyday things that are so much cooler. It's hard to explain and get them in. But now once you get into it, they get attached to these characters, which that's the strength of Star Wars, is it has a vast array of really fully developed, fully formed, fully realized characters in a way that most other series and franchises don't have that luxury.
Well, and again, not a film student, not a film expert, just two guys talking on a podcast about movies they generally enjoy and really like, and rank high on both of our respective lists. But didn't go to film school. People I've heard on other podcasts who did go to film school go one step further even than what you said about it being before and after in terms of science fiction. It's before and after in terms of movies. That Star Wars was kind of maybe not the first, but definitely probably the most successful of films of that era of really being like modern filmmaking.
Well, there was
there was a lot that happened in Star Wars that then, just from a technique standpoint of the way the film was shot and the story structure and all that, that really defined the modern era of filmmaking.
The year before, in Star Wars was 77, and in 76, I think maybe 75, I think it was 75, Jaws hits the, you know, comes out. Mm-hmm. And so you have this idea of the blockbuster, which did not exist before the mid-70s. I mean, there were movies that made a lot of money, but the idea of a movie being an event that everybody had to go see, and it was this huge cultural – I mean, you know, and before, I think, what happened a lot of times was there were occasional movies, like you could argue that the hoopla around Gone with the Wind was blockbuster-esque. And probably Sound of Music was probably blockbuster-esque, you know, that kind of like big event. But movies before were like the actors sold the movie to a large degree. But now with Star Wars, you had the movies selling to actors. Mm-hmm. You know, like Mark Hamill is only really Mark Hamill because of Star Wars, not the other way around. Right. So, and
well, one other question I want to ask too, because I've heard people argue this also about Star Wars. John Hodgman, podcaster extraordinaire, comedian, all that. He would argue that Star Wars is not necessarily science fiction, but that it's fantasy.
Yeah,
and I so what, you know, we think about in this sort of, would you say there are elements that are more science fiction, or there are elements of fantasy? Does it sort of mash those up in some way?
I would, that movies before and since haven't been
able to quite do?
I'm with him because I don't think, you know, whereas, not, and that in essence, in a lot of ways, boils down the big question about the difference between Star Trek and Star Wars. Star Trek is clearly based on science and on the realm of the possible. And this is where we can get if we continue along this trajectory. And all of this is theoretical and stuff that could possibly, you know, in a distant future could happen. There, no matter how progressed we get, we're not going to develop swords made of kyber crystals. Like, that's not happening. You know, and we're not going to, the force is not going to all of a sudden, we're not going to find people who can, you know, force wielders, and midichlorians don't matter. So all of the, so you're, you know, you're probably right.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Hodgman's point is that
the reason we call it science fiction is just because it's set in space.
Right. And that's what you said. It's a fantasy set in space.
Yeah, that's a better space opera.
Science. Yeah, yeah, space opera and that sort of thing. Long time ago, galaxy far away, once upon a time.
Yeah.
It's a fairy tale in a lot of ways. And a lot of, you know, beats around that with the princess and the king
and the nerf
herder and all that kind of stuff going as well. Well, sort of maybe last thing as we think about this, we haven't done a terribly deep dive, but in 40 years, we've gotten 9 movies. And well, now we, the deal in place.
Are we at 9 yet, or just 9, the 8th one? You counting that as the 9th? Okay, 9 movies. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, we got the Clone Wars movie, I think I was counting in there.
So okay.
Number of TV series, all that sort of stuff. So that 40 years, we had a big lull in there. It seems like really for the last 5-6 years, things have really geared up kind of in Star Wars, probably because the people who first saw it came of age to be producing and creating.
And Disney bought it and wanted to make money.
And did all that. So the next 40 years, what do you think you might expect to see with Star Wars? And you know, how many movies will we have when we reach 80 years?
That's a good question. So that's one thing that Star Wars has going for it that other franchises don't. Because even the Star Trek franchise, which, you know, I've already compared it to Star Trek before. Star Trek, the first original movies had to be based on that crew. And that crew had to be the story, because nobody cares about what this no-name captain's doing on this other ship. It's got to be this crew. And even the Next Generation movies, similar limitations, but, you know, very recent. Star Wars can go in a million different directions. And you're seeing that with the side stories or the Star Wars stories, whatever they're calling the movies, like Rogue One. What will be interesting to see is, you know, because I got the young Han Solo movie. There's rumors of a young Yoda movie. There's rumors of a young Obi-Wan movie. At some point, those side movies need to catch up and be present day, not fill in backstory of the past. Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's only so much, you know. So it'll be interesting to see what once they've sort of exhausted that list of characters to go through and give us some backstory on, where do they go from there, or do we just get... And also, the other big question that everybody's asking right now is Episode 9, is it the end of a trilogy, or what do they do? They have an episode... Does Episode 10 start a new trilogy? How do you... You know, how do they choose to go from there? Because, you know, at some point, Star Wars Episode 13 or 14 seems, it starts to seem a little silly at some point to keep name. You know what I'm saying? It just seems a little, you got to change and do something different. There's a reason why they don't call it James Bond 25.
I mean, I think the change and do something different is probably key in the next 40 years of Star Wars, because I think there will still be 40 years of Star Wars. You know, some other franchises, I might be worried about it falling under its own weight in some ways, cannibalizing itself. But I don't anticipate that happening anytime soon with Star Wars, simply because of the way the first 40 years have unfolded. It kind of hit a couple of different waves of kids who are just mesmerized by this.
Well, the only question is...
That buys them a lot more time. It's going to take a lot longer for the string to play out.
Sure.
But here's, to me, where the big thing is. And I think the next 5, 6, 10 years of Star Wars will say this. It's like you said, to do something different. I'm really intrigued with Episode 8 and Episode 9 to see how much they can get beyond the Skywalker.
That's exactly where I'm going.
Is I think it would be an incredibly bold choice to with both the secret identity sort of themes that could come in with both Rey and with Snoke, to completely divorce them from any other characters we've seen in that universe. That would be really interesting and really fascinating, and give you a sense maybe of where it's going to go in the immediate future. And also.
It's risky. It's risky, but it's also necessary.
Yeah, but if they're connected in some way, that also continues to tell you where.
Yeah, you got to, and you know, it's a fine line. I mean, you got to, if you're going to branch off and all of a sudden say we're going to go a different direction and we're no longer going to be Skywalker focused, you better make sure you got a good. Like, the other thing that's going to be very telling, especially in Episode 8, is now that Han is no longer in the universe, and now that Leia, how they handle her death in the movie, and how they choose to go forward. Because now, because these actors are getting old and their characters are getting killed off, and you don't have that crutch, you know. So how do you know? Because you know, when you saw Episode 7, and that's the biggest applause was when the characters we know and love came back on screen. I mean, like when Han showed up, people are cheering and screaming. Are people going to do that for Rey or for Finn or for, you know, Poe? You know, and if they don't, that's going to change the experience of the movie. If you don't have those characters to like look forward to seeing and get excited to see when they show up.
My sense is for Rey, yes. For Poe, maybe, and for Finn. I like that character, but he's not there yet. To be determined.
And Ray's on her way, but I still think we are being a little ambitious for what one movie. We need to see, you know, because there's a chance. I mean, we don't know. There's a chance they could screw up her story when they reveal her parents. I mean, there's a chance they could ruin anything. We just don't know yet. So I want a little bit more information before I'm sold on her being on that level. She's in that discussion, but she's not on the level of Leia, Luke, Han yet, just because she's only had 2 hours. They've had, you know, 40 years. Yes. So
but she's on the fast track, I would say. Well,
she's on the fast track.
Just, you know, again, kind of fun to think about it a little bit and think about what the Last Jedi might add to the story as we go. We mentioned we were going to maybe try to talk about Guardians a little bit, but looking at our time, mm-hmm. I think let's move Guardians to its own separate podcast. We'll do one of those before and after type of things that we usually do when we go see a movie. And when we talk about Guardians, we can continue to talk about, you know, some of the influences franchise has had.
And we can watch it with an eye towards looking at what are the Star Wars callbacks or Star Wars references.
Right. So in honor of the 40-year history of Star Wars, the top five for this episode of The Quest of 10,000 is going to be Brian looking at all the different movies, comic books, TV shows, novels, canon or not. The main – or his top five side characters.
Okay.
In that universe.
Now, I have not read any of the comic books, so I'm going to exclude those characters.
So, for you, Brian, though, who else does it exclude? When we think side characters, that's probably best to kind of have a grasp on before we go into your top five.
Well, you know, to me, you got about 10 characters or so that are probably too important to be side characters. And I'm thinking Yoda, Obi-Wan, Chewie, R2-D2, C-3PO, you know, those are two, Darth, all the Skywalkers, Han, too important to be a side character.
And also, you know, you said earlier, as we were planning this episode, you don't think you can count really the main characters in episode 8 yet either, because you're still waiting to see kind of who they are.
Yes, yeah. And there's a chance, if the character develops, there's a chance that Captain Phasma could be a fantastic character. You know, I want that character to work, but I can't say that based on what I saw in episode 7.
Right, right. And the others have a little bit more weight of years behind them. So, with those caveats in place, your top five side characters in the 40 years.
Okay, I'm going to say one of the side characters that I've just fallen in love with. I've been watching Star Wars Rebels with my son, and we just have absolutely fallen in love with this character, and that is the droid from that series, Chopper. Oh, we love Chopper. We just love Chopper because he's got attitude. He's funny. He's got all the attitude of BB-8, but he's kind of like looks more like R2-D2. So he's kind of like a much more sassy R2-D2. And we love that character. I mean, when he comes on screen, he makes us laugh, and we love Chopper.
Comic relief, not something often thought of in Star Wars. But
I mean, he's also brave, but more so even than R2-D2, he's an integral part of their missions. You know, he's not like an afterthought. Like, he's a part of the team, and I really, really like that.
Exactly. He comes in at number four.
Number four, a bad guy. One of the most fascinating characters I know when we were kids that just showed up, and we were all just in love with it right away because it's the concept. Jabba the Hutt. I love Jabba the Hutt. I love the idea of the Hutt. I love the idea that there's these slovenly, like, big worms that are just like this insanely powerful gang lords out there that they just rule. I love that idea. Love it. So I love Jabba. And I like all of the Hutts. I mean, because in the Clone Wars, they sort of showed more of the Hutts. So it's not just Jabba. But I like the Hutt. Yeah. But Jabba,
they're kind of fun sporting characters. You said you didn't read the comic books. I've been reading the latest Marvel series.
They're so good.
And they show up there, and it's always kind of a cool moment.
You got some elements of, like, Godfather. Gangster type. Number three is a character that I know all the fanboys love, so you already know who I'm going with here. It's Boba Fett. Oh, I love Boba Fett.
I'm surprised he's only number three.
I love Boba Fett, and I'm super excited about the Boba Fett solo movie. I'm hopeful that Boba Fett survived the Sarlacc pit. I mean, I know there are rumors. I'm hopeful that those are true, because it feels like that was a waste of an excellent character. I'm a little bit on the anti side of backstory being revealed that he's a secret clone and he's like just a clone that was allowed to live on his own. You know, don't really love that, but I love Boba Fett as the Boba Fett we know that found Han and all that.
And I think too, what adds to him probably in some ways, he is the secret star of the Robot Chicken Star Wars episodes. The scene of him when Han Solo is frozen.
There's some Clone Wars stuff that deals with young Boba Fett as he's like, you know, because he was an orphan as a result of the Clone Wars. So he's sort of like finding his way and how he found it, how he became a bounty hunter, and I really like that. Number two, Lando Calrissian. Ooh. I love Lando. Love Lando.
Very nice. And a character where you want to know more about him.
Well, and think about it, too. In a lot of ways, like, he was the only example you could point to of a person of color in the Star Wars world for about 30 years. Like, it was Billy Dee, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then Samuel L. Jackson said, I got this. But But, you know, I mean, that's it. And you know, that's and he did it in a way that, not, I mean, everybody loves his performance in Empire. And I know he betrayed Han or whatever, but he completely redeemed himself in Return of the Jedi. And, you know, I love Lando.
Yeah. And another awesome miniseries Marvel Comics produced that gives you some more really cool kind of background on him. In his story, so
well, and I'm super excited about, because Donald Glover is Lando in the Hansa, and I'm super excited about they've said they're going to show how he gets the Falcon, so you know Lando's involved in there, so I'm really excited about how that's going to play out, and see their friendship.
So
and number
maybe
one,
the most prominent of your side characters is your number two, Lando, and who is number
now
one?
This character met an unfortunate end way too soon. But then came on strong in the Clone Wars TV series, and now he's back in Rebels, kicking even more ass. And Darth Maul is fantastic character.
See, that's who I thought you were going to say when you said Jabba.
No, Darth Maul
talking
is
about a villain, and I was like, Darth Maul, right?
Yeah, Darth Maul is such a cool character. Such a cool character.
I think one of the best accomplishments the people in charge of Star Wars have done was taking what was kind of problematic movie in The Phantom Menace for at least longtime Star Wars fans, and taking the coolest thing about that and then continuing to insert into stuff going on.
Yeah.
Almost single-handedly redeeming, at least giving some redeeming value to the whole prequel stuff, because it gave us Darth Maul.
Yeah, and Darth Maul was the first character. Now they have all sorts of different type of lightsabers, but Darth Maul was the first time when we saw that dual-sided lightsaber, and you're like, what the heck is this? Yeah. You know, you're like, your mind's blown. And, like, the character just shows up, and he's gone. And unfortunately, you know, you can go through, Star Wars is littered, because Boba Fett, we already talked about it, of how they waste great characters, okay? Jabba, in some way, was wasted in Return of the Jedi. I mean, he was killed before we even got to know him. Same thing can kind of be said about Count Dooku. I mean, Count Dooku doesn't have a lot of screen time before he disappears. I mean, he's in the movies, but he meets an unceremonious end quickly. You know, and General Grievous also, obviously, just right away. So they have well, at least in the prequels, they had a horrible time of, like, getting rid of the characters that we all love, and somehow Jar Jar survives.
Oh, well, on that note, listeners, we'll ask you again. Tell us who your favorite top five side characters in Star Wars 40 years has been. Thank you so much for joining us on this part of the quest for 10,000. Drop us a line on Twitter at 10kmovies or on Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with a probably spoiler-filled preview and review of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So please plan to watch the movie yourself and then join us for that. But until then, we hope your week is a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline. How do you know that?